Great. Thank you, Chris, for the introduction. Like you said, my name is Liz, and I hail from UNC Chapel Hill. I'm a second-year doctoral student, and I have many colleagues in the room right now, including my advisor, Beth Morocco, who is also on this presentation. So today I'm going to be talking about student perceptions of an online sex education program in a project called My Health Ed, and we were working with students in rural North Carolina. I have no relationships to disclose. So why rural Eastern North Carolina? As you can see in that first statistic, in 2013, North Carolina did actually reach its lowest teen pregnancy rate in more than 30 years, which is quite an accomplishment. However, in several rural counties, in Northampton, Halifax, and Warren were priority counties for our study, you can see that the average teen pregnancy rate and the rate for 2013 is actually much higher compared to those for Durham, which is a city and urban population, and Orange County, which is where Chapel Hill is, which is more of a suburb. So this is why, or one of the reasons why, we chose to work with the three counties listed up top. In addition, in North Carolina, 90 of the 100 counties are listed as rural, and so this particular infographic shows back in 2010 the priority counties for teen pregnancy, and those are the ones that are striped in blue. And I taught in Eastern North Carolina in the top right corner in Northampton County, which is highlighted in yellow. And that county, in addition to Halifax, which is one over to the left, and Warren, which is the one in green to the left of that, is where our study is focused. And in addition to having high teen pregnancy rates in these areas, these three counties in particular also have really high needs in terms of their schools, and so these three counties partner with Teach for America and have some of the lowest educational outcomes in the state. So the My Health Ed intervention overview, we took ETR's reducing the risk intervention, which is lauded by the Office of Adolescent Health and is an evidence-based intervention, and we got permission to go ahead and adapt it. And so what we did was, the original intervention had 16 lessons. We took the same content and the activities, and we essentially translated them to the online platform Moodle, which is totally free, and a lot of teachers use it. And this intervention already has a great focus not only on teen pregnancy prevention, but also STIs and HIV prevention. So that was one of the other reasons why we chose this one. We also pride ourselves in that we innovated a little bit, and that our adaptation is slightly different from reducing the risk in a few key ways. So the first way is that My Health Ed can be facilitated with or without a trained health educator in the room. And that was really important to us for working with students in Eastern North Carolina, because we felt like and saw that many of our schools did not have teachers in place. They had substitute teachers, or they had coaches who had not been trained in health education, or they had teachers who've been trained but who are not willing to deliver the comprehensive sex ed standards that North Carolina does have. So in addition to that, we innovated in the sense that classroom teachers are blinded from student responses. So in a regular intervention and with the original reducing the risk, the teacher gives out assessments, activities, and then collects that work and grades them him or herself. In this case, what we did was the UNC team was responsible for going ahead and doing the grading, and the teachers didn't actually see any of the student responses. They simply just saw the grades. And then the last thing is, we realized that a lot of our students have multiple needs and also learn in a variety of different ways. So we were really prioritizing trying to present the reducing the risk content in as many different ways as possible so that we could reach different types of learners. That being said, here's one of the screenshots from one of our animated video clips. And so instead of just having the text written below and talking about HIV, the methods to prevent HIV, and also the consequences, we had graduate students on our team go ahead and use GoAnimate, which is a free online program where you can click and drag and create animated videos. And so this was very well received by a lot of our students. In addition, one of the things that we knew we were going to have to figure out was how to replace the traditional role play activity that you usually have done in partners or with one person standing in front of the class. And so what we did was we worked with students in the computer science department at UNC, and they went through and created a chat simulator. And so this activity, instead of having a written script in front of students, Students were given a situation and were asked to practice a particular skill, so for instance, refusal tactics, and after that, the computer would prompt them with a message from Charlie in this case, and then it would go back and forth to a point where students then had to select responses in the bottom from a drop-down menu to practice whatever skill they were learning, and then from there, it would give you immediate feedback. So this person chose a response, and instead of continuing the conversation, there was a big sound, and then a message popping up telling the student why this particular response was not the best one and asked them to try again. And our students also really enjoyed this activity. So we did two rounds of pilot testing, the first in the fall semester of last year, and this was really just to work out the basic kinks, and especially with implementation and trying to make sure that our schools had the technology available to them. And so we did that with 34 ninth grade students in one of our schools. And then following that, we used our winter break and went and revised the intervention one more time and then put it in front of 135 ninth grade students in four schools. And those four schools are within the three priority counties that we talked about before. Of those four schools, three of them were traditional public and one was a charter school. And from there, in addition to students completing online surveys, they were also given the opportunity to participate in focus groups. So we conducted 9 gender-specific semi-structured focus groups, 3 of them all male students, 6 of them all female students, and then also interviewed 3 of the health teachers. And so our fourth teacher was actually a math teacher who implemented, and so we did not interview her with the same questions, but got her feedback in a different way. So that is why it's 3 health teachers instead of 4. So these were the primary research questions we were looking for in our qualitative data analysis. So the first one was just asking, what are students and teachers' perceived benefits and drawbacks to receiving sex ed through an online format instead of in a traditional setting? And then we asked students in particular how they wanted to improve this adapted online intervention or how they would improve the online sex education experience in general. Students and teachers were recruited from the 135 students and the 4 teachers from our spring pilot study, and we tried to make it as easy as possible for our students and teachers to participate. And so students were asked to come and do focus groups either during their health class or during their lunch period, and those lasted about 45 minutes. And then to honor teachers' schedules, we met with them either during their planning periods or after school, whichever was most convenient to them. Students received $10 Walmart gift cards, and teachers received $25 Walmart gift cards. And then the focus groups and interviews were transcribed verbatim. I used Atlas TI to go through and analyze the data, and we coded both descriptively and interpreted those codes. So what does that mean? So students initially, in giving responses for what they really liked, so their perceived benefits of online sex ed, listed things like more pictures or immediate feedback. So after those descriptive codes were used, we took a step back and looked at more broadly the parent codes. Like, what did that actually mean? Like, why were more pictures and immediate feedback really important? And we realized that students were talking about it in the context of it led to better student understanding. And so that's what we use as the parent codes, and those are the themes that we carried into our analysis. And we are bringing in the teacher perspective as well here because we really wanted to draw comparisons between both the student perspectives and the teacher perspectives. So here are our themes. You can see that there were way more perceived benefits than perceived drawbacks for the students, and that there were 2, the ones that listed up top, where students actually saw that particular topic or theme as both a perceived benefit and a perceived drawback. So we wanted to highlight that in this particular chart. But in general, students reported having more engagement with this online platform, they felt greater privacy, and they also thought that the expectations for them as a student were much clearer, knowing that the lessons always began this way, ended this way, they were going to get a grade, and they felt great comfort from that. So the more privacy theme was consistent throughout with all of our students, and here are 2 of the quotes. And we really saw that students, when they were describing the benefit of having more privacy, not only knowing that their peers weren't going to be able to see their responses, but also knowing that their teacher wasn't going to see their responses. So that gave them a greater sense of comfort. And then that not being judged came time and time again, and them saying that they were going to be more truthful with the computer than with a live person. Student autonomy was one of those themes that was seen both as a perceived benefit and a perceived drawback, and here are two illustrative quotes. But many students really liked having student autonomy, being able to pace themselves, because then they didn't have to be in the same course as their neighbor. If they were reading a little slower or they were absent the previous day, it was really easy for them to catch up. They also really liked the fact that they were online already, so if they had other questions, they didn't have to rely on a teacher to answer it. They felt like they could just Google it or find other means of figuring out what they needed to know. On the other hand, there were some students who noted, a few students who did notice that themselves, they felt distracted or other students were distracted because they had too much of student autonomy, in the sense that they were then able to listen to music, browse social media, because those were not filtered out in schools. So that was something that we saw and took interest in, and want to make sure that in future iterations that we really consider balancing these two. Similarly, different students differed in how they saw interactions with others. So some of our students really enjoyed that because it was available both on a computer or a laptop, and they could also access it on their phone. It actually increased the amount of conversations or increased their ability to interact with others while discussing sex ed, which we thought was really great. On the other hand, the actual administration of it is during their health or PE class, and in most settings, students were sitting individually with a laptop in front of them and headphones in, and so some students did cite that it caused them to have no interaction with students in their class. And at this, on the bottom, you can see a picture of some of our students taking the online course. So when we asked teachers, we also asked them about the student perceived benefits and drawbacks, and they overlapped with what the students reported. But for the teacher-specific perceptions, a lot of them greatly appreciated the fact that this course would essentially be able to decrease their daily lesson planning and grading because they were no longer responsible for either of those two things. And one of the findings that we thought was also really interesting is that teachers consistently said that they really liked it because they learned also. So they learned because they were able to learn new content that they hadn't been exposed to before, or they saw a new way to deliver this content that they hadn't seen before. And so in the future, we're going to consider having this be an explicit outcome, but measuring teachers' self-efficacy to deliver sexual health information and content to students. The one perceived drawback that two of our three teachers did indicate was that they felt like there was less classroom control, which there was, because they were not standing in front and driving the learning instead. And so we have a tension with this because students really valued the autonomy that they felt given the online platform. And knowing that teachers want to maintain control, this is something that we are going to have to further research to figure out what that balance is, where students feel like they are responsible and engaged in their learning, and teachers feel like they're more involved. Future improvements from students. So at the end of the focus group, we asked both teachers and students, we asked them what they would change and what they would like to see in future iterations of either this intervention or any other online sex ed program. And these are the two consistent themes that students reported. So the first one is involving others, and they talked about others in a whole bunch of different groups, and so not only their peers, but health teachers in addition to other adults. And then they listed a whole bunch of ways that we could increase student engagement, which we found very helpful. We wanted to note here also that one thing that students did not include for future iterations was content. So we specifically probed them, was there something missing here? Like, is there anything else you would like to know about sexuality education that hasn't been covered? And almost all the students said, nope, I've learned it all. And so that was one theme that we saw, like the I know it all theme came up a lot. And so that is something that we are astute to and are going to make sure that when framing future sex ed interventions online or not, that students are aware that whatever they're receiving is not all of sex ed, but that was a common perception that we wanted to note here. So involving others. A lot of students noted a variety of different people that they wanted to actually talk more about sex with, and so including doctors, family members, friends, and teachers. And a lot of students also highlighted that they really wanted to seek other perspectives, and they liked the online version, either on the phone or on the computer, because they could take it and solicit feedback from other people and not just having it come from one teacher, which was good. And then increased student engagement. One of the things that we saw time and time again was the fact that a lot of students really wanted music. And so either music in terms of background music, which I guess students were doing already, they were listening to YouTube music while doing the online lessons, but both students and also teachers were highlighting the importance of music and how well students respond to music videos and rap. And so one of their suggestions was potentially creating content in that format to deliver it to students, and that might be one strategy where students respond really well to. And then this idea that fun and learning at the same time was something that students really wanted, so that they felt like they were learning but also really enjoying their time in the class. So discussion points and conclusions. At this point, we really do find that online sex education is promising and preferred. 80% of our students from that 135 said that they recommended online sex ed to a friend, which we were really excited about. And we think that it's a great way, especially in low-resource schools, to be able to deliver high-quality education, not only for sex ed, but potentially in other topic areas in the future. There are way more perceived benefits for students and teachers compared to drawbacks, but that being said, in the future we really need to create programs that not only address the drawbacks but also still maintain the benefits that students and teachers both cited. And so we clearly need to do more research, and this is where I hope my dissertation will focus in the subsequent years. And so once we get to the Q&A session, I would be happy to answer any questions. Thank you. Did you want to answer questions now?
Yeah, we do have about 4 minutes for questions right now.
Perfect.
Any questions?
Questions.
So I know that this maybe just wasn't the focus of this research, but are you planning on doing like knowledge questions, like baseline and follow up as to what, how much it's increasing knowledge?
Yes, so we looked at some of the Kirby studies that were cited in terms of substantiating their evidence base and used their knowledge instrument. It was a series of questions, and it was true or false. So we administered those post-tests for the students and are still in the middle of going through and analyzing that. But yes, it looks very promising. See another hand? Yeah. So I will need to ask ETR for permission for that, because that's not our content, but that's why we have the screenshots here. But I am happy to get back to you if you want to leave me your card at the end of the session. Thank you.
Thank you.